Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Kriyat Shema Perek Gimel. After the last two prakim on the text of Kriyat Shema and the parameters of how it must be read, the Rambam moves in this perek to another topic entirely, where one may not recite Kriyat Shema, or even, as we'll see in Halacha Daled, say or even think any words of Torah. The background to this perek is in Parshat Ki Tetzé, specifically Dvarim Perek of Gimel, Psukim Yud Aleph to Tedvav. The Torah speaks there of the importance of maintaining Kedusha even in an encampment of soldiers fighting a war. If someone sees Keri, that is a seminal emission during the night, he must leave the camp for the duration of the day, and one may relieve himself only in a specified area away from the main part of the camp, after which he's required to cover his waist. The last pasuk reads as follows. Ki Hashem Elokecha mitalech bekerav machanecha, v'haya machanecha kadosh, v'lo yervecha ervat davar. Hashem goes with the encampment, and therefore it must remain holy. Chazal apply this pasuk to any situation in which the name of God or words of Torah are said or thought, and learn that this may not occur in the presence of human waste, or even a place set aside for bodily functions, nor in the presence of anything which qualifies as an erva. The parameters differ among these items we just listed, and we'll see the details as we go through the perek. Halacha Aleph. Hakorei kriyat shema rochets yadav b'mayim kodem shiikra. Higia zman kriya v'lo matza mayim, lo yacher kriyata v'yelech l'bakei shamayim, ela mekaneach yadav b'afar o v'tzror o b'korah v'chayotze behen v'korei. One must wash his hands before reciting kriyat shema. The Rambam clarifies in Hilchot Brachot, Perek Vav, that this is even accompanied by a bracha of Al Netilat Yadayim, but the Shulchan Aruch rules that no bracha is made on this. If water is not readily available, then the Rambam says it suffices to wipe his hands on a rock or wooden beam. We'll see in Hilchot Tefillah Perek Dalid that before reciting Shmona Esrei, one must make more of an effort to find water to wash his hands. Since Kriyat Shema is Midoraita, there is more of a concern that waiting to find water may delay him until the time of the mitzvah has passed. Halacha bet. Ein korin lo bevet ha-merchatz, v'lo bevet ha-kisei, af al-pi she'en bo tzoa, v'lo bevet ha-kvarot, v'lo betzad ha-meit atzmo, v'im hirchik arba amot min ha-kever o min ha-meit, mutar likrot, v'chom mi shekara b'makom she'en korin bo, chozer v'korei. A bet ha-merchatz is a public bathhouse, where people often walk around naked. A bet ha-kisei is an outhouse. Both of these are considered unclean places, and one may not recite Kriyat Shema in them even when there is no one naked in the Beit HaMerchatz and no human waste in the Beit HaKisei. In Halacha Gimel, the Rambam adds some caveats. In a brand new Beit HaMerchatz, one may recite Kriyat Shema, and similarly in the Chatzer HaMerchatz, the outer courtyard where people walk around clothed. But a Beit HaKisei is more stringent, and the Isser of reciting Kriyat Shema applies even in a new one that has not yet been used. A third problematic area is a cemetery, Beit HaKvarot, or next to a corpse. According to the Rambam, if one said Kriyat Shema in any of these places, Beit HaKvarot, Beit HaKisei, Beit HaMerchatz, he must repeat it. But the Raiva disagrees about Beit HaKvarot. He seems to think that the problem with a cemetery or next to a corpse is not uncleanliness, as with regard to a Beit HaMerchatz or Beit HaKisei, but a lack of respect for the dead, who are unable to engage in Torah and mitzvot. And therefore, b'di'eved, one is yotze if one said Kriyat Shema there. Skip to Halacha Dalid. V'lo kriyat shema bilvad, ela kol inyan shuhu midivrei kodesh, asur le'omro b'veit ha-merchatz u'veit ha-kisei, v'afilu amaro b'lashon chol, v'lo le'omro bilvad, ela afilu laharher b'libo b'divrei Torah b'veit ha-kisei u'veit ha-merchatz, u'v'mkom ha-tinofet, v'hu makom shiyesh bo tzoa omei raglayim, asur. Not only kriyat shema, but all divrei Torah, it is forbidden to say or even to think in a Beit ha-merchatz or Beit ha-kisei in any language. The poskim add that even if someone unaware of this din asks you a halacha question in one of these places, it is usur to say, I'm not allowed to answer that in the bathroom, as this itself is a statement of halacha. The exception, as the Rambam says in Halacha Hey, is if someone is engaged in a forbidden activity, say smoking on Shabbat, then it is mutter to tell him that, even in one of these places, assuming he will listen to you, in order to remove him from the avera he is doing. Halacha Hey, Dvarim Shel Chol, Mutar Lo'omran Bilshon HaKodesh Bevit HaKisei. V'chein ha-kinuyin, kegon rachum, v'ne'eman v'chayotze behem, mutar lo omran b'veit ha-kisei. Aval ha-shemot ha-myuchadin, v'ein ha-shemot she'ein nimchakin, asur la-zgiran b'veit ha-kisei, u'veit ha-merchatz ha-yashan. It is permitted to speak Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, in the bathroom, if the topic isn't Torah-related. Mentioning one of the seven names of God is forbidden, but it's mutter to say a kinuy, like rachum or chanun. The Kesef Mishnah here wonders why the Rambam left out the statement of Ula in the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat that one may not say Shalom in the bathroom, even as a greeting, as this word is used in Sefer Shoftim as a name of God. In the Shulchan Aruch, he rules against the Rambam that even saying Shalom is asur, and the Mishnah Berurah adds that even saying God in English or any other language is similarly forbidden. In all these halachot we've discussed regarding the Beit HaKiseh, the poskim discuss whether the modern-day bathroom has the same status. There are reasons to distinguish between the two, but the halachic consensus is that for purposes of the halachot discussed here, relating to Kriyat Shema and speaking or thinking Divrei Torah, a modern bathroom is the equivalent of a Beit HaKiseh. There is more room to distinguish between them when it comes to the requirement of Nitilat Yadayim, washing one's hands upon leaving either place, and hopefully we'll discuss that further when we learn about Nitilat Yadayim. At the end of Halacha Dalid, the Rambam added that aside from the Beit HaKiseh or Beit HaMerchatz, places set aside for a use considered unclean, it is forbidden to say Kriyat Shema in any Makom Tinofet, in the presence of any feces, tzoah, or urine, meiraglayim. In the next 10 halachot, from Halacha Vav through Halacha Tedvav, the Rambam elaborates on the details of what qualifies as a Makom Tinofet. I'll warn the listener in advance that many of these details sound jarring and even repulsive to the modern ear, unaccustomed as we are in these days of indoor plumbing and disposable diapers to actually encounter feces or urine outside the bathroom or the context of changing a diaper. We need to keep in mind that the situation was very different at the time of the Talmud and that of the Rambam, and the cases described in these halachot came up with some frequency. Just as one example, the Rambam mentions in the beginning of Halacha Vav that in the process of tanning leather, it used to be that the animal skin was soaked in water mixed with manure. Halacha Vav. Tzoat ha'adam, v'tzoat klavim v'chazirim v'zman shi'esh b'tochan orot, v'chol tzoa sh'eicha ra kigon elu, asur likrot kriyat shma kenegdan. V'chein kenegen mei raglei adam, aval mei raglei behima korin kenegdan. Katan she'eino yachol lechol kazai dagan b'chdei she'ochal agadol k'shalosh beitzim dagan, ein marchikin lo mitzoato v'lo mimei raglav. It is forbidden to recite Kriyat Shema in the presence of human or animal tzoa that emits a bad odor, or in the presence of mei raglayim from a human, though animal urine is not considered problematic. The Shulchan Aruch adds that garbage or water with a bad stench is just as much of a problem as tzoa or mei raglayim. When we refer to human waste, we mean a person from the age at which he can eat a kazait of grain in the amount of time a standard adult can eat 3 kibetzim of grain, which is somewhere between 6 and 9 times the size of a kazait. In practice, poskim are machmir once a baby is a few months old, as it is relatively easy and quick even at that age to eat oatmeal made from grain. In Halacha Zayin, the Rambam adds that even dried out tzoa poses a problem unless it crumbles into dust when moved, and mei raglayim absorbed into the ground is problematic as long as the ground remains wet because of it. Halacha Chet. Kama yarchik mitzoa mei raglayim v'achar kach yikra, 4 amot, b'mei dvarim amurim bizman shein milacharav umitzdadav, aval im hayu keneged panav marchik mehen ad shlo yireh otan v'achar kach yikra. במה דברים אמורים? בשהיה עמהן בבית במקום שווה. אבל היה שם מקום גבוה מהן 10 טפחים או נמוך מהן 10 טפחים, יושב בצד המקום וקורא, שהרי נפסק ביניהן, והוא שלא יגיע לו ריח רע. וכן אם קפה כלי על הצורה או ממי רגליים, אף על פי שאין אמו בבית, הרי אלו ככבורין ומותר לקרות עמהן.
Recall that the source for the Isser to read Kriyat Shema in an unclean place is the pasuk of V'haya Machanecha Kadosh. Your machane, encampment, that is your location, must be free of any filth. This means, in general, a distance of 4 amot, about 6 feet or 2 meters, and that the offending substance not be visible. But if the substance is covered or located in a separate domain, on the other side of a wall or 10 tefachim above or below the person, then that suffices to be considered a distinct location, and there is no need for a distance of 4 amot. In all these cases, we also require that the bad odor not be detectable where the person is saying Kriyat Shema. If there is a bad odor, then even being in a separate location doesn't help.
Halacha Yud. Haya beino uvein atzoa mechitza shel zchuchit, af al pi shu ro'e ota me'achorei hazchuchit, mutar likrot betzida. Natan revi'it maim letoch mei raglaim shel pa machat, mutar likrot imahen betoch 4 amot.
Even a glass wall between a person and tzoa qualifies as a separation to allow him to say Kriyat Shema, despite the fact that he can see it. This is not the case for an erva, as we'll get to later in the perek. Again, as long as there is no smell. Pouring a revi'it of water into mei raglaim expelled at one time dilutes it to the point that one may recite Kriyat Shema within 4 amot. In Halachot Aleph, the Rambam rules that a person must be very careful when wiping himself after expelling Tzoa to ensure that nothing is left on the outer part of his body, as he is not allowed to recite Kriyat Shema if even a small amount remains. Halacha Yud Bet. Reach Rash Yesh Lo Ikar Marchik Arba Amot V'Kore Im Pasak HaReach V'im Lo Pasak Marchik Ad Mekom Sheposek V'She'en Lo Ikar Kegon Mi Sheyatza Mimenu Ruach Milamata Marchik Ad Mekom Shetichle HaRuach V'Kore Geraf Shel Re'i V'Avit Shel Memei Raglayim Asur Likrot Kriyat Shema Kenegdan Af Al Pi She'en Bahen Klum V'En Lahen Reach Mipnei She'en Kevei Takisei. A reach she'en lo ikar is a bad odor which doesn't emanate from a specific object, and the most common example mentioned by the Rambam here and common in our own day is when someone passes gas. One must wait for the odor to subside, or move somewhere else where he does not smell it. The Shulchan Aruch rules that if someone cannot refrain from passing gas for the entire Zman of Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, it is preferable that he miss out on both of these, rather than say them in the presence of the bad smell. A geraf shel re'i is a receptacle for tzoa. An example today would be a potty used for a toddler being toilet trained. And an avit shel mei raglayim is a similar item for urine. Both have the status of a beit hakisei, and so it is prohibited to recite kriyat shema in their vicinity, even if they are empty and emit no odor. To summarize halachot yud gimel through tedvav, a moving tzoa or mei raglayim has the same din as a stationary one, for example, if being carried by an animal walking by. And one can only read Kriyat Shema if it is 4 amot away and the odor isn't detectable. Someone who passes gas in the middle of Kriyat Shema or while learning Torah must pause until the smell dissipates and only then continue. But if someone else passes gas, then he must pause his Kriyat Shema, which is more stringent because of the Doraita obligation to read it, but is allowed to learn Torah. If someone is in doubt if there is Tzoa within 4 amot and wishes to recite Kriyat Shema, whether he needs to check depends on where he is standing. In a home, the assumption is that there isn't soa lying around, and so he doesn't need to check in a case of suffek. In a garbage dump, or at least a garbage dump at the time of the Gemara, there is a strong likelihood of soa lying around, and so he needs to check first. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that if based on these rules, he did not need to check, like in a home, but after saying Kriyat Shema, he discovers that there was indeed soa within his 4 amot, he does not need to repeat Kriyat Shema. But if he should have checked and didn't, and there turns out to have been soa, then he isn't yotze and must repeat Kriyat Shema. From Halacha Tetzayin, the Rambam moves to the dinim of saying Kriyat Shema in the presence of erva, nakedness, and we'll see what exactly is considered erva. Recall the pasuk which is the source of this din. V'lo yireh v'cha ervat davar, that God should not see any nakedness in you, from which we learn that the problem specifically relates to seeing the erva rather than to its objective presence in your vicinity. The nafkamina will be clear in the next halacha. Halacha tetzayin, k'shem sha'asur likrot keneged tzoa u'memei raglayim ad sh'yarchik, kach asur likrot keneged ha'erva ad sh'yachzir panav. Afilu goy o katan, lo yikra keneged ervatan. V'afilu hayta mechitza shel zechuchit mafseket, ho'il v'hu ro'e ta'erva, asur likrot ad sheachzir panav. One may not read Kriyat Shema while looking at a naked person, even a non-Jew or a child, and must turn his head away so he does not see the erva. A glass barrier between him and the erva is ineffective, because he still sees it. Note the difference between erva and soa. The problem with soa is its presence in your location, so you must move to a separate location, and even a glass barrier suffices. But regarding erva, the problem is specifically one of seeing, and so on the one hand, turning away suffices. He doesn't need to move to a different room. But on the other hand, a glass barrier doesn't help, because one can see through it. The Shulchan Aruch adds that so too if one closes his eyes, or if it is night and he cannot see the erva, then he may recite Kriyat Shema. The Rambam said that even a naked child has the din of erva, but the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, limits this to at least 3 years old in the case of a girl, and 9 years old in the case of a boy. The end of Halacha Tetzayin, V'chol guf ha'isha erva, l'fichach lo yistakel beguf ha'isha kishu korei. Afilu ishto, im haya megule tefach migufa, lo yikra kenegdo. Any part of a woman's body, which is typically covered, is considered erva when it is exposed. Therefore, one may not recite Kriyat Shema even in front of his own wife, if even a tefach, around 8 centimeters or 3 inches, of one of these areas of the body is uncovered. The hair of a married woman, in a place where the custom is for her to cover it, is considered erva if it is exposed, and the Shulchan Aruch adds that a woman's singing voice, kol isha, is considered erva, and one may not recite Kriyat Shema while hearing it. The Rambam adds in Halacha Yud Zayin that one's own erva is just as problematic as someone else's, and so a man must cover his own private parts before reciting Kriyat Shema. As these are the only parts of a man's body which are considered erva, a person may recite Kriyat Shema while wearing only underpants or shorts. But it is not enough for a naked man to wrap around his neck a blanket which covers everything below the neck, even though this prevents him from seeing his erva, as the Rambam explains at the end of Halacha Yud Zayin. Haya yashen betalito v'hu arom, chotzeit betalito mitachat libo v'kore, avalo yachotz mitzavaro v'yikra, mipnei shelibo ro'e et ha'erva, v'nimitza kamisha kara below chagor. Aside from separating between his eyes and his erva, a person must create a barrier between his heart and his erva, and so the covering of the erva must begin somewhere below the upper chest and not at the neck. So far we have two dinim of erva which make it forbidden to recite Kriyat Shema: actually seeing the erva, either one's own or someone else's, and this din of libo roa et erva. When there is no partition on one's body between the heart and the erva, that's a problem. In Halacha Yud Chet, the Rambam adds a third problematic situation. Shnaim shayu yishanim mitalit achat, kol echad mehen asur likrot af al pi shekisa mitachat libo, ad shetei talit mafseket beinehen, kidei shelo yagia besar ze bivsar ze mimotnav ulamata. ואם היה ישן עם אשתו או בניו ובני ביתו הקטנים, הרי גופן כגופו, ואינו מרגיש מהן. לפיכך, אף על פי שבשור נוגע בהן, מחזיר פניו וחוצץ מתחת ליבו וקורא. In a case of people sleeping together unclothed in the same bed, nowadays this is a rare situation outside the context of a married couple, which as we'll see is not a problem. But in earlier days this was much more common. Even if no one actually sees any erva, and each one in the bed is wearing something which avoids the problem of libo roa ta erva, they may not recite Kriyat Shema without a blanket or some garment separating between their bodies. The problem here is that the physical contact of the two bodies may lead to inappropriate thoughts of erva. However, if the other people in the bed are his wife and or young children, then no such concern exists because he is accustomed to physical contact with them and thus won't be led to inappropriate thoughts. Therefore, as long as he doesn't see any erva, and he's wearing something to avoid libo roa et erva, the physical contact between bodies doesn't pose any obstacle to reciting Kriyat Shema. In Halacha Yotet, the Rambam clarifies at what age one's children are no longer considered young, and physical separation would be required in this context. That age is either bar or bat mitzvah, 13 years for a boy, 12 years for a girl, or up to a year earlier than that point if the child has already reached physical maturity and has developed the bodily features of an adult. We'll close by noting that the Rambam only discussed in this perek what qualifies as erva for a man reciting Kriyat Shema or learning Torah, presumably because only men are obligated in both of those mitzvot. May a woman engage in these activities, or daven or say a bracha, if she herself is not entirely covered? This will come up here and there in other contexts in the Mishnah Torah, but for an extended discussion of this topic, I refer the listener to the website deracheha.org, an excellent website devoted to the general topic of women and mitzvot, and specifically under the heading Dress, where the topic of erva is addressed at length.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.